I have some thoughts to share with you all. The Lord has been impressing this on my heart for quite some time now. And what aspirations do you have in life? What goals do you have? What are you pursuing in your life? Some examples that I might have for you would be perhaps you're a young person or even a middle-aged person, so and you're seeking out a career for yourself. Maybe you're making plans for how to provide for you or for your family, or and so you're thinking about how to do that, how to best do that, and you're making plans towards that. You're maybe putting things in line so that you can achieve those goals, those aspirations. Maybe you have a desire to have a family. Maybe you want to have a wife or a husband, or maybe you want children. Maybe you aspire for that in your life. And you make preparations, or you do things in order to make that possible. Maybe you aspire to a hobby of some kind. Maybe you like to hunt, or maybe you like to fish, or maybe you like to sew. What I think about all those things is I don't believe any of them is wrong of us to do. I don't believe any of them is out of the will of God. And in our pursuit of those things, to do it well, we got to put our heart into it. To do it well, we got to put some effort into it. If you're going to make plans for a career or something that you need to do for your life, you've got to put some effort into it. You might have to make some sacrifices to make that come true. Maybe you're going to have to go to school for quite a while and endure some difficult classes. Maybe you have to sit under someone who knows the trade that you're seeking to learn, and you need to put yourself under them for 2, 3, 4 years before you can reach the goal that you have and being a journeyman maybe in that trade. You make sacrifices to achieve your goals. Yes. No good thing in life is going to be achieved without some sort of desire or push behind it, or a sacrifice. You know, I think within myself there's things that I aspire to do in my physical life, if you will, in a career and a way to provide for myself and my family. And there's things that are necessary to do. And I've realized that in some of my recent pursuits that although it's going well, it's maybe not going as well as it would be of someone that's putting their all into it. You know, I say that to say that some people aspire to have their own business and to run their own business. And the ones who are really successful at that, the ones that really succeed and really explode in their business, are ones who are willing to give everything to it. They put their time, their energy, they set things aside, they bring sacrifice, they might miss a meal or 2 meals or whatever it takes. They might work 16-hour days, 7 days a week. They might just give themselves completely to it. And they're successful. And some of those might advise me, you need to give more to that. If you're going to really make it go, if you're really going to make it succeed, if you're really going to achieve greatness in what you're pursuing. And I know they're right. But you know, there's other pursuits in life. And again, I'm not saying that any of these are to be put away or put to the side, but there's other pursuits in life that are valuable. And I would say even more valuable than these pursuits. I see so many who give themselves to these things. And they put their all into it. And they're very good at it. I think of a man that knows how to shoot. An expert marksman. You think that happens by accident? You think he just woke up one day and picked up a gun and went ahead and shot a bullseye and then he shot another bullseye? No, he worked at it. He practiced at that. He spent time and energy to achieve that. And that goes with anything that we pursue in life. I was thinking about the young men, for example, that have a desire for a companion and some of the sacrifices that they might have to make for that. You know, they make their little money and they need to put some of that aside. You might not get to have that little gadget that you would prefer to have because you know that there's something else that you're pursuing for. And so you're willing to make that sacrifice. You're willing to set that money aside, put it in the bank, save it up, get it ready, because I want to be ready when the Lord provides that companion for me. And so we make sacrifices to do that. What is our goal in life? What are we pursuing with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might? And are they being realized? To spiritualize it, if I was to ask you all what your chief goal in life would be, I would think many of you, maybe all of you, would say, heaven is the goal. And I would say, amen. Let heaven be the goal. And put your whole heart into that. Give your all to that. No reservations. Heaven is a good goal. I was thinking in regards to our temporal needs and our temporal goals that we have. And does any of us really pursue it and just hope in life that we're just going to scrape by? Is that your goal tonight or today, to just scrape by? To just barely have enough? Well, I just want to barely have enough. And that's all. I would say that our goals are much more than that. We often exceed that by a whole lot. Is heaven a goal that we have that we just want to barely squeak in? Are we just barely wanting to get into the door? How serious are we to make heaven our home? What sacrifices are we willing to make that happen? I think of some of the songs that we sing where it says, heaven holds all to me. To me, when you say that and you're raising your hand to that, saying, heaven holds all to me, there, you're saying there's no reservations. Everything takes a second place to heaven. Heaven holds all. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Sometimes I've heard people quote that scripture, and it's almost like they're saying, I just want to squeak in. But you know, it holds so much more than that. What aspirations do we have in life? What goals do we have? How serious are we about them? What are we willing to give to receive them? I was thinking about heaven holding all to me, nothing more important. And we talked about our other aspirations, our other plans, our other goals. And what would you sacrifice for heaven? But maybe I should ask it this way. What would you sacrifice heaven for? What in your life holds a place there that by your actions, you're essentially willing to sacrifice heaven for it? By your desires, by your pursuit, by your quests in life, you're essentially making a decision to sacrifice heaven for that thing. And I believe that we all have times in our lives where there's things that would want to push in against that. They would want to crowd in and take a place of our quest for heaven and for eternal life. And we have to make a decision that heaven holds all to me. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 13. Starting in verse 45. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That pearl of great price. Heaven holds all to me. I'm willing to sacrifice anything that I might obtain that goal. Whatever might come in its place, whatever might seek to take its place, I want to be able to offer that on the altar before God. That I might obtain it. Sold all that he had, that he might obtain it. But you know, as much as heaven holds all to me, I believe that we need other aspirations in our life than that. I believe that there should be other pursuits that don't trump that, but are in unison with it. I was thinking about how oftentimes I hear different ones talking about service to God. And the statements are, if God calls me to this, or if God calls me to that, or if God desires for me to do such and such. You know that's not an if. That's really not an if. That's God's Spirit on you. When you're born into the kingdom and the Lord anoints you by His Spirit, that Spirit comes with gifts and operations. And you're entering into the kingdom of God. And we each have places in that kingdom. And I think about that approach of saying, if God. And I think rather that we would have a heart that says, Lord, please. Lord, please use me. Lord, please direct me. Make me an asset into your kingdom, dear God. Make me a vessel unto your goodness. Use me. I was thinking about something that Brother Phil mentioned one time long ago in a message that he was speaking, and he said, we got to do it on purpose. We have to do this thing on purpose. We can't just expect everything to happen by accident to us. Like I said, those quests in life, those pursuits in life, they're done on purpose. You're putting your life into it. You're putting your heart into it. You're putting your effort into it. You're putting your sacrifice, your sweat, your blood to achieve those goals. May the Lord help us to do that for His kingdom. For His purposes, for His plans, for His thoughts. That we would put our all into it, put our hearts into it. But not just that, but that we would pursue it. Yes. I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians. I think sometimes we think that when we talk about pursuing maybe the Spirit of God or the gifts of God that maybe that's a pride thing. And it can be. But it doesn't have to be. And I'm sorry, I said second. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? I believe the answer to these questions is fairly obvious. That it's no. We're not all those things. But the Lord sets in the body different ones to fill these places. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yes, show I unto you a more excellent way. So that word covet is to desire. You might even say to strongly desire. And that is what I'm trying to get across to you today, that we can have a strong desire to be used of God. We can even seek His face for it. We can even ask for things specific that He would use us in. And I'll tell you, just because we ask Him specifically to use us in an area, don't expect Him to do it necessarily. Because He chooses. He decides how He's going to use you in His body. But He wants you to have a heart that's completely surrendered. And He wants you to have a desire to pursue it. Covet earnestly the best gifts. I know that with regards to ministers, there's a lot of people who don't really covet that. And in a lot of ways, I guess I can't say I blame them. But you know, there's a blessing that comes with it. And there are often blessings that come with those things that are difficult and hard. But you know, I think sometimes about how many of us are earnestly praying that God would give us the gift of divine healing. He said, then gifts of healing is what He said. You know, when I was young in the Lord, I was newly saved, and I had some setbacks, and this time that the Lord delivered me, it was different. It was so different that my heart was all in. The things of life, the pressures of the world, the circumstances around me would not affect it. I was essentially dead in Christ in my heart, that He was all to me. But you know, it wasn't just that. I had an intense desire for God to use me. I wanted my life to be useful, to mean something. Because in where I was at, it didn't mean anything. Where I had gotten myself, my life meant absolutely nothing. And I'm sure there may be people who would disagree with that, that loved me and cared about me and still felt like I was worth their love. But from my perspective, it was that my life was essentially over. But you know, the Lord gave me a new hope, a new purpose, a new desire to serve Him, a way to have meaning in my life, a way to be effective in the lives of those around me, a way to be active in His kingdom. And I desired it. I wanted God to use me. And I read His word, and He said, "Covet earnestly the best gifts." And I have to say, I'm guilty of asking for what I thought was the best. Not necessarily the easiest. But I didn't do it because I wanted to be some big guy and big shot. I didn't do it because of pride or desire to look good in front of others. But I wanted to be used of God. I wanted to be effective in His kingdom. And I wanted other souls to be saved. I wanted people who were in the same boat as me or same condition as me to have hope too. To know that you're not all done. You can be delivered. You can be free. You can be restored, like we heard last night. There is a restoration that can be had. We have a purpose in life. And it's not just all about me getting to heaven. It's not just about me squeaking in. We've got more of a purpose than that. God wants to use you. And may the Lord help us to be willing to say, "Yes, Lord, send me." Oh, there's a need? Oh, you guys have a need? Well, I'm right here. I volunteer. I'm raising my hand for that. Lord, I want to be active. I want You to use me. I want You to make me effective in Your kingdom. I want You to draw souls into Yourself through me. Not my work. Not my good deeds or not my efforts, really. It's God. But me as a vessel in His hands to do His will. It's not necessarily prideful to want to serve God. And I think sometimes we get in a place in our hearts that we're afraid that we're pursuing something out of a carnal desire. And so we forfeit being a vessel in God's hands out of a desire to be humble. But God wants you to pursue everything that He has for you. Yes. And He wants you to be active in His kingdom. Yes, that's right. I want to turn to Acts chapter 8 and give you an example of one who had aspirations and desires, but yet they were corrupt. Acts chapter 8, 13. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. So Simon was a sorceress, and he was gaining money. It was his job, essentially. He was gaining wealth and money doing what he was doing. But it says that he believed the preaching of Philip and wondered and beholding the signs and miracles that were done by him. And in verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that, through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power. He desired that power. He desired the ability to be able to lay hands on someone and the Holy Ghost would come down upon them. But why? You know, if you told me I desire that the different ones would be filled with God's Spirit, I would say, amen, thank the Lord. May all of God's people be filled with the Holy Spirit. But he says that he might receive the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, he said, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I may lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. He had a desire for that power, but it was a carnal desire. To get gain, to be popular maybe with the people, to be glorified among the people maybe. And Peter rebuked him and told him that he was out of line. So we pursue things in life. We pursue our careers maybe. We pursue family life or different activities in our lives. We pursue heaven. Heaven holds all. If I can just get into heaven. And we pursue being active in God's kingdom. We pursue being a vessel in the Lord's hands to be used to the glory of God and for the furtherance of His kingdom that He might add souls into His body. But you know, I think of another pursuit. The other day, we had a brother that stood up, and I would say that this brother is probably one of the kindest people I've ever seen. And he stands up and he says, I felt a little bit of impatience in there. And I don't like that. And I think of a man that has a pursuit in life. Not just to scrape on in. Not just to how much can I get away with and still make it to heaven. But he has a desire to be all that God would have him to be. Not just in his actions. Not just in facilitating God's kingdom, but in his personal life, he wants to have a character that exemplifies God and his Spirit. And I would say that because he has that acute sense of any little thing that might be in there, and he's pursuing with all his might that none of those things have a place in his heart, I believe that that is why the Lord has blessed him to grow to the capacity he has grown. And I believe the same would be true of you and of me. If we would have a pursuit in our hearts, then Lord, I don't want to just scrape by. I don't want to just barely make it in. I'm not asking you what I can get away with here. What can I do? How far can I go? How deep can I get into this thing, Lord? Lord, yes, I want kindness, but I want to be as kind as I possibly can be. Yes, Lord, I want to be patient, but Lord, help me to go deeper and how patient I can be. Lord, help me to be long-suffering and kind and gentle and merciful. Lord, help me to grow, to be mature. Are these prideful pursuits? Lord, help me to be humble. Help me to be meek. The Lord wants us to pursue these things. And like we said before, I mean, can we really achieve great things in life as far as these aspirations and goals if we're just giving ourselves a little bit to it? We just kind of dabble around in it. We have to give our all to it. Our whole heart to it. Everything that we have within us to be what God would have us to be. And there's no limits, I don't believe, in what God can do in your life. But you got to believe that he can do it. And you got to want him to do it. You got to pursue it. Just like I said, Lord, use me in your body. Put something in me, Lord. Make me a vessel of honor unto you. We can also cry out to God and say, Lord, make me like you are. Teach me, Lord. Show me. Examine my heart. Show me if there be anything there that needs to grow and mature in you, Lord. Help me, Lord, to know so that I can give that to you and surrender completely and utterly into your hands. Make me as you are, Lord. May the Lord help us to pursue it with all of our might, with everything that is within us. I don't believe that the Lord wants us to set any of these things aside. It's like it was mentioned already earlier that there's a lot of things that seem to come in on us. We have a lot of priorities, multiple priorities in our lives that are all priorities. They're all very necessary. They're all good. They're all things that God wants us to do. And may the Lord help us to know how to do them all. Because like we said, if you give too much of yourself to that career, yeah, you might be successful in that career. But I don't know how successful you might be in the kingdom of God. May the Lord help us to know how to pursue these things in a way where we can fulfill all of what God would have us to do. But I would say the bottom line for every one of us, and we've heard it already in this meeting, is that God wants us to give everything we have to Him. Heaven holds all to me. God's kingdom holds all to me. The pursuit of Christ holds all to me. Lord, make me a vessel of honor to you. Pray for me. I want to serve the Lord. And I want to do it in the capacity that I don't want to live it. I don't want to limit God in what He can do. But I want to be open to Him that He can do whatever He would want to do. And I pray the same thing for you.